You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. What's happening, Corey?
What is going on, Mr. Sussman? Hope everybody out there is doing well today underneath the sound of our voices. I got a couple things I want to get off my chest.
Please.
But first, let me say, I'll start off by saying, and I'm sure we'll get to them throughout the course of the program.
Right.
I start off by saying the greatest rapper of all time died on March 9th.
That's right.
That is true.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true. What's going on, Mr. Modica?
I'm excited. 1 week away from the NFBC coming to Manhattan and less than 2 weeks to Vegas.
So time to go to the mattress.
So we're very live right now.
Yes. It's coming.
Ah, yes. Yes, they are indeed. Okay. Do you want to get one of these things off your chest?
The situation. I've done morning radio for almost a decade now.
Yeah,
and you know it's very tough. You know what I'm saying? When you like to have a good time like I do, when the alarm clock goes off at 4:30 in the morning, stuff like that, it can be difficult. Now, obviously, we have the advantage of coming into work a little bit later, but it's the trains at this time of morning. It's horrific.
Well, it's real life.
It's because it's like regular people going to work, like you know that go work regular time. And I'm not used to this because it's been a long time. And you see, it's different now because when I used to have to go to work regular time before, almost a decade ago, it wasn't as much people getting on the train in my neighborhood, you know? But now with the colonizers, you feel
the gentrifiers.
Now with the advent of the colonizers, you feel what I'm saying? The train is packed in the morning, mm-hmm. and I'd almost rather go back to being to work at 6 o'clock than deal with the packed train.
Almost.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
To be fair, early in the morning when you had the previous time slot,
yeah.
You were not really taking the train.
I'm in an Uber because it was, you know, West Side Highway is open that time of morning.
Right,
West Side Highway now, you can forget about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I try to avoid the mass transit at every option.
I don't blame you, Matt.
I don't mind it.
You don't?
I despise it.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
Yeah, it's fine for me.
I mean, it packed everybody on top of everybody. I'm just it's too much for me.
Manhattan would have, like, the greatest subway system in all.
Instead of the worst.
Yeah. And then today I kind of got in somebody's way and she and this lady got off the train and was like, get the F out the way. I was like, my God, lady. I was trying to go to work.
She was coming for you, Chris.
Came for me.
Just trying to go to work.
Oh, my goodness. That's the first story.
Okay.
Another story I think you might be interested in, too, because I think somebody's falsifying some information.
About me?
Not about you.
Okay.
Somebody from your alumni.
Maryland Terrapin.
Yeah, maybe falsifying some information.
Really?
A tricky turtle.
I'm very excited and interested to hear this. Falsifying.
I'm surprised you didn't see it.
I mean, you're about Steve Francis.
I'm talking about Steve Francis.
You're talking about Steve Francis.
Yeah.
Of course, I read the Players Tribune article.
Yeah.
Everybody tweeting about how great it is.
Yeah.
We'll get into it later on the show. When we come back, I know you're not feeling great because you had to ride the subway with people on you. But you know who's probably also not feeling that great this morning? It's probably Mike Moustakas.
Yeah.
Because he left quite a bit of money on the table. We'll talk about Mike Moustakas. It's the fantasy value. He is in play now. The Moose signs. We'll talk about it next. Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Deadlines spur action. We know that. And ultimately, opening day is now under 3 weeks away. 20
getting close.
Days away. So people who don't have jobs, we're getting antsy. If I'm Mike Moustakas today, now that I've signed my contract, I'm going to fire Scott Boras as my agent. Because he effed up. in a major way. The qualifying offer for a player this past year was $17.5 million for 1 year. Mike Moustakas declined that. He says, I'm going to get a long-term deal somewhere else. But when you decline your qualifying offer, a draft pick compensation goes along with that. So if the Yankees and the Mets or whoever wanted to sign Mike Moustakas, they would then have to give up a pick.
That's not fair.
Yeah, Jake totally agrees with you as well, mm-hmm. by the way. That's ridiculous. But it's now March 10th or whatever.
March 9th,
sorry.
You're right.
I apologize. That's why I said, quote, or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
It's March 9th, and Mike Moustakas still did not have a job. And he literally yesterday, Matt, I sat next to you and been like, oh, Boris is posturing. He's going to hold out until June until the compensation goes away. Then he's going to get his long-term deal. I'm like, there's no way Mike Moustakas is going to do that. 1 day later, Mike Moustakas signs a deal to return to the Royals. And remember, that qualifying offer was for how much?
$17.5 million.
Do you know how much?
Young Jeezy missed the 17.5.
Do you know how much money that Mike Moustakas is guaranteed in this 1 year deal?
How much?
$6.5 million.
See, what is going on?
He lost $11 million. So, like I said, if once the ink is dry, Scott Boris.
Should
You're
be gone.
Fired.
He should be gone.
You're fired.
That's a poor job on Scott Boras' hat on behalf of his client. He should have known the temperature. He should have known the situation better. Now, listen, he gets his people's big deals and stuff like that, so I'm sure he'll be fine. But, man, this is a poor job. Did they overrate the player? Didn't he hit 38 bombs last year?
It's the thing here, what's happening is, you know, like the big teams. I mean, the Yankees could have used this player and gave him more than $6.5 million for a 1 year deal. And with the compensation of the first round pick, it's to protect these teams that can't afford to pay these big contracts. You know, if you like Bryce Harper next year, Bryce Harper was playing for, say, the Padres and became a free agent, they're not gonna be able to sign him.
Yeah.
So they get something back of value for him. What pisses me off more than anything is the Mets spent a lot of money this offseason. You know, they were, you know, a lot of people said they, you know, got contracts below market value. But, you know, if you go to, like, one of these stores and you buy a cheap shirt, you just bought a cheap shirt no matter what the price was, you know. So they could have, they're paying Asdrubal Cabrera $8.5 million. Mike Moustakas is getting $6.5. They gave Todd Frazier $17 million. Look, he plays good defense as well.
Yeah.
So it's not just it's a bat and, you know, it's 30 home runs with nothing. You put him in a good lineup. I thought he'd stay in Missouri. I thought it would be with the Cardinals. They're a team that usually pounces on, you know, value when the opportunity's out there. They didn't. I think this would have been a really good signing for them. But, hey, look, as Greg mentioned, $17.5 million, I would have declined it, too. I would have thought I was getting more than that. I mean, I've seen people in the past decline these $16, $17 million. So I'm like, I'm not sure if you really want to do that. But for Moustakas, I would have did it. Boris, I would fire immediately once, like you say, the ink is dry.
Absolutely. All right, so you had said all along, Matt, that you thought the Yankees should just go out, sign him, get him for one year at what, you know, $10 million, whatever, mm-hmm. at third base. It's perfect fit for both the player and the team, and it works. But the Yankees don't want to go over the luxury tax, worry, and they don't want to give up the first round draft pick. So Frank and I last night went into the Yankees' former first round picks. And if you don't mind an exercise with me, I want to name you all the first round picks since Derek Jeter in 1992.
That was a good one.
Okay. Let me know. I want to count how many you know.
All right.
In 1993, they drafted Matt Drews.
Don't know him.
All right. 94, Brian Buchanan.
Don't know him.
95, Shea Morenz.
Don't know him.
96, Eric Milton.
And
I know Eric Milton. He was at the University of Maryland. Okay.
Fit a turtle.
97, Tyrell Godwin.
Don't know him.
97, Ryan Bradley.
Never.
98, Andy Brown.
Don't know him.
99, they took a shot on a high school pitcher, Mark Pryor.
Never heard of him.
You know Mark Pryor?
Never heard of him.
Cubs pitcher?
Huh? Mark Pryor? Pitched for, that's the same
Mark
dude.
Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah.
him.
Yeah, I know him.
All right, that's one.
Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood. They're supposed to be dominant. They never lived up to nothing.
That's one. Number 99, David Walling.
Mm-mm.
2000, David Parrish.
No.
2001, John Ford Griffin.
No.
2001 as well, Bronson Sardinia.
No.
2001 as well, John Skaggs.
No.
2003, Eric Duncan.
This sounds like the Knicks first round picks.
2003, Eric Duncan.
Again?
I guess so. 2004, Phil Hughes.
Know him.
You know him. That's 2004, Jonathan Poterson.
Nope.
2004, Jeffrey Marquez.
Nope.
2005, Carl Henry.
Nope.
2006, Ian Kennedy.
Know him.
Okay. 2006, Jabba Chamberlain.
Know him.
2007, Andrew Brackman.
Don't know him.
2008, a high school pitcher that went back to college, Garrett Cole.
Know him.
Okay. 2008, Jeremy Bleich.
No.
2009, Slade Heathcott.
No.
2010, Cito Culver.
No.
2011, Dante Bichette.
I know
Junior.
Him.
Junior.
Oh, well, I know his pops.
Doesn't count.
All right.
2012, Ty Hensley.
Mm-mm.
2013, Eric Gigolo.
No.
2013, Aaron Judge.
I know him.
2013, Ian Clarkin.
No.
2014, James Caprillion.
No.
2015, Kyle Holder.
No.
2016, Blake Rutherford.
No.
You've known six since 1993.
Now, you see, this is interesting right here because... Do you take the risk of not giving up that draft pick? Because what if that guy does become Garrett Cole or Aaron Judge or a player like
six
that?
Six in 15 years!
You got to play the percentage. I know the percentage.
That you know, not Aaron Judge.
Here's the thing for me is, forget the draft pick. If they would have put Moustakas on the books for a year, next year he comes off, you're free to go after Machado.
Yeah.
You're free to go after Harper. If Kershaw's out there. I mean, who's ever the top guys, this money, it was a one-year. You talk about a pillow contract. This is not a – this is a pillow biter contract.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm glad I didn't say that.
Same. Same.
Wow. That was a good one.
Man.
Well, what is worth.
That was a good one. But, yeah, anyway, that's it. This is what teams like the Yankees wouldn't give up at first. Like, the first round, who cares?
That's crazy.
Who cares?
I agree with you.
Like, I understand the Cubs and the Astros model building through the draft.
Picture him 1 year at Yankee Stadium to build up his free agency.
Like, I get it. Like, you could still have your prospects and not trade for Brandon Drury. Two prospects that aren't nothing.
He should have had Boris pay the Yankees to make him play there this year.
I agree. Even if you have to pay him $10 million, you still have plenty of room under the luxury tax. This is a mistake by a team like the Yankees. Not every team could do it. I get that. The Yankees are one of the teams that could. And the Mets as well made a giant mistake with the Asdrubal contract, as you pointed out. Like, even after you signed Todd Frazier, move him to first base, let Moustakas play third, and Adrian Gonzalez sucks!
The thing with Frazier, I think right now, I'd rather have Wilmer Flores getting those at-bats every day than Todd Frazier.
Right, certainly more than Adrian Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, Adrian Gonzalez, he goes in every day, an hour and a half. He gets there like 6:30 every morning, and there's like an hour and a half on back maintenance. So come on.
All right, now that you know Mike Moustakas is back in Kansas City, what is his fantasy value?
Well, the one person it does help is Whit Merrifield.
Yeah.
At least one bat returns. I mean, they lost Kane. They lost Hosmer. You thought they lost Moustakas. At least he comes there.
And now, see, that's Escobar's back.
Everybody's excited. Everybody's getting excited about Jorge Soler, the svelte-looking Jorge.
Hit another home run yesterday.
Hit another home run. It's at, I think, four he's got. So, I mean, look, bad teams. I hate when people say, oh, he's on a bad team. He's going to get pitched to. Don't worry about that. He will get pitched to. It's 162 games. The Royals aren't going to be that good. So, you know, teams aren't going to be like, well, you know, we're up 8-2. We're not going to pitch to Moustakas.
No, I totally agree. So Moustakas was going where? All right, so Moustakas in the NFBC here. I have that over the last week in my... available right now. Moustakas was going pick 145. Does that now go up now that you know where he is?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. He should tick up. I mean, look, he hit, what, 38 home runs last year in Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
So I would people were hoping for the home run that he landed with the Yankees. You would have saw that ADP surge. But look, I'm still, if I need a third, if I'm waiting on third base and he's there, I'm apt to take it.
Would you rather have Mike Moustakas or Kyle Seager?
I mean, Kyle Seager has the better team context. I'm more of a Moustakas guy.
Would you rather Mike Moustakas or Jake Lamb?
I'm going to go with Moustakas. I mean, Jake Lamb's just got too much issues with versus lefty. And if you believe in this humidor.
Okay, so there you go. So Jake Lamb is currently picked 130, I think, or 133. That's 12 spots higher. So
well, you're going to see him move up like maybe a half a round or something.
Would you rather Mike Moustakas or Miguel Sano?
I'm going to go with Moustakas. I don't know what's going on with Sano. And if you read that report That's really damning. And if MLB's got any kind of a hammer's got to come down somewhere.
Mike Moustakas or Rafael Devers?
Maybe I go I'll take the
shot. That's the cut. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we talked about the Dodgers yesterday, so we'll do it today. Team of Day, the Los Angeles Dodgers, comes your way next.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
What song is this, Greg?
Glow Sticks Anthem?
No. It's... I forget. Pavona, what is this? Oh, Tayo Cruz.
Okay.
Dude that sings Dynamite?
Not familiar with this gentleman.
Yeah. All right.
Sound like something you would like, though.
Doesn't do it for me.
Real poppy.
Hey, YouTube, what's going on? This is Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive.
What's up, YouTube? I ain't seen y'all in 24 hours.
You're also on Twitch and Facebook Live, Periscope.
What's up, Twitch? What's up, Periscope? What's up, Facebook Live? Holla at me. Inbox me. Ladies.
Men.
No.
It's Wall Street Matt Modica. Hey, everybody. Thank you for coming inside Studio 34. I want to talk about the Dodgers with you, both gentlemen, for a few moments.
Chavez Ravine.
L.A. Mm-hmm. Beat L.A.
Real nasty fights in Chavez Ravine.
No,
between.
This is true. I was wearing my Pedro jersey, Met jersey, when I was living out in L.A., and I would go to the Mets come to town. I'd always go. And in the parking lot, I came to almost to blows.
Yo, Holmes, what are you doing with that Pedro jersey, Holmes?
It's unfortunate.
That's why they're court for Scott Angle.
That guy was going to come over and stuff.
Yeah, they beat up that dude up. They don't play with them Giants fans either.
Ballpark. I mean, for an old ballpark, too. I definitely enjoyed going there. I went there often.
Yeah, I take hammer out that joint. Oh, there's a lot of gang activity at the stadium, too?
I believe there is, yeah.
Do better.
Remember the dude that got off like death row thanks to Curb Your Enthusiasm in L.A.?
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was a crazy story.
You got the swag.
That was wild.
He takes the girl.
The handicap. HOV Lane. It's one of the best episodes ever.
That was.
So everybody knows about Billy Bonds, Cody Bellinger. We talked a lot about Corey Seager, especially yesterday with Dr. A. But there's a lot of other pieces in L.A. that are worth talking about that I don't think a lot of people are. Like, even the rotation, like we've gotten into it with Kershaw and Alex Wood and Rich Hill. We've done that. But some names that we haven't mentioned enough this spring that I really wanted to get into included Yasiel Puig. Now, Corey, Puig's agent dumped him this offseason. Like, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
That's not nice.
And he's a free agent to be, I believe, Puig. And the agent still said, I'm out. So I was like, oh, what did Yasiel Puig do? The agent got rid of a payday for this. But set him out. Last year in fantasy, in baseball in general, we had a nice little year. He had a very good year.
The problem was he was batting like 7th or 8th a lot of the season.
Yep.
He still produced. The one thing that he has against him right now is he hits too many ground balls.
Last year, he finished with a .263 average, 28 home runs, 15 stolen bases. Pretty good. It's a pretty good year.
Yeah, OBP is 15-21 with stolen bases as well.
And the BABIP was the lowest, I believe, one of the lowest of his career. So you think, all right, that can go up. Didn't really strike out, under 20%, 11% walk rate. So he had improved in quite a few areas there. Does that improvement continue in 2018? What do you think of the Yasiel Puig?
I think it does. I think he's reasonably priced. I mean, a couple of years back, everybody was in on him, and he let everyone down. But I thought he could get more of a bump this season. It hasn't happened yet. Maybe it happens in the next week or two when everything goes live. But, he's a player that I'm definitely interested in. I only have him on, like, one or two teams, but we go live, I do see that changing. Be a little more aggressive.
You know Yasiel Puig this year, Corey?
He's not on my Tout Wars team.
Well, maybe he'll be on another team of yours.
Oh, there's no more teams.
It's only auctioneering.
Yeah, it's only auctioneering. That's it. It is no more teams. But I would have put him on the team as like a third or fourth outfielder. I would have been willing to do that.
Okay.
But I didn't. But I'm always going to be Yasiel Puig guy. I think he's good for the game.
All right. So you think he's good for the game. Yasiel Puig right now, NFBC over the last week, 109. Pick 109.
Yeah, maybe he's going around like Cespedes and Braun, I would think. I mean,
he's going around 10, 20 picks away from Cespedes. He's right before Ryan Braun. So going around there.
I still think he's going to hit, what, like 25 home runs? I think he's going to steal double-digit bases. Look, the possibility for him having a breakout is there.
Just 27 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to go with the 7 to the 27, and he's a free agent, you know, the free agent year. He's just, look, he's been in the league a few years now. He's hopefully matured somewhat. I know the agent fired him. Look, he's never going to be a Boy Scout.
Nope.
Okay? We understand that. I'm hoping and I believe he'll bat higher in this batting order than he did last season.
What was interesting last year, Matt, he played in the most games of his career. Played in 152 games for the Dodgers. It was like the first time that I remember that it wasn't like, oh, Puig's going to go to the minors. Puig's going to go to the bench. We hate Yasiel Puig. It was the first year, finally, that they kind of just stuck him in right field and forgot about him.
Yeah, and if you look at the left field, what they have right now.
Exactly where I was going.
Matt Kemp. And what's the kid's name? Josh Peterson.
Well, I was going to say you can put Josh Peterson in center because you also have Chris Taylor, who I wanted to get into.
It seems like they want Taylor in center, though.
Well, let's talk about Chris Taylor then here for a moment, because Chris Taylor is a name that bursted onto the scene really in the second half of last year into the playoffs. And on the season, Chris Taylor comes over to the Dodgers, and you're just like, all right, tell me more about this Chris Taylor, dude. Let me give you the stats. 21 home runs, 17 steals, batted .288 last season as a starting center fielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's comes over by way of the Mariners, went to the Dodgers, went back to the Mariners, and Dodgers. All right.
That was a fantastic trade. They traded Zach Lee for him.
Yes, they traded Zach Lee for him. Here's a problem with Chris Taylor. Struck out 25% of the time, walked under 10% of the time. The BABIP was an insane 361. What is the true Chris Taylor? What do we expect of Chris Taylor?
Yeah, I'm going to look. I think last year's average is maybe the high end for him.
Yeah, I agree.
I still think he's a good player. I'm looking at Steamer here. They have 13 homers, 16 steals, and a .262. I think maybe he can do better than .262. Not that, you know, if he's .270, 15-15 guy, you know, score 100 runs if he's batting atop that lineup for the full season, I'll buy that. The second base outfield eligibility is very nice. For me, I think this year's Chris Taylor, if given the at-bats, is Chris Owings in Arizona.
Not scared of that, Humidor, for him.
No, I mean, Chris, look, first of all, he's going to hit home runs on the road. He's still going to hit some home runs there. And he's just kind of a player, like a 15-15 guy. He's pretty much, to me, the same thing. And that guy's got second base, shortstop, and outfield eligibility.
Now, Matt, where should you draft? Like, are you interested in Chris Taylor this year? Like, is that some guy that you're, you know?
I would draft him. I just, he hasn't really come on my team. I think he's going a little higher than I like. I mean, people are believing him to be a 300-20-20 guy this year. I'm not going to go that far.
Okay.
I could see 280, you know, maybe 18-20, but that's to the high end for me. I'd be more comfortable projecting like 270, 15-15-ish. You know, the runs will be there if he bats lead a full year.
All right.
And he was one of my favorite players. I fabbed him last year to watch.
Yep.
Fantastic. I'm going to root for him. I just don't know how much I'm going to own him.
Yeah, I agree, too. I'm kind of in the same position. I think I don't want to buy a guy at his peak. I think it's where we are with Chris Taylor. That's where I think he's going right now. You look at the NFBC ADP, and Chris Taylor is currently going pick 91, inside the top 100 for Chris Taylor. I don't know that I want to pay that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's tough, you know, it really is. And if I'm going to wait, if I can get a guy like Ian Kinsler, who can, maybe the batting average is 20 points lower or 15 points lower, but the runs will be there, you know, basically the home run, stolen base equation should be somewhat similar.
And then you get to the last piece of the Dodgers I want to talk about here today, and that's Justin Turner at third base. Last year, played 130 games. He came back late from a knee injury. And 21 homers, 72 runs scored, 71 RBI, 7 steals. And here's the best part about him for points leagues and head-to-head. Strikes out 10% of the time. Walks 10% of the time. He walks more than he strikes out.
That's good.
The average is 322. The OBP was 415. BABIP was nothing crazy at 326. His career BABIP was 316, so it wasn't crazy at all. Justin Turner, I get it. Not sexy. He's 33 years old. But he's a guy that has improved with age. I love Justin Turner.
When he left the Mets, I mean, I wanted him to stay with the Mets as like a utility infielder.
Yep.
I never expected him to be
right.
This kind of a hitter and stuff. I think, you know, the expectation, I really like him. The expectation I would have, though, low 20s in home runs, mm-hmm. you know, 290-ish average.
Yeah.
And that's valuable.
I agree.
You know, where he's going to hit in this lineup, this is a very good lineup. I mean, the one concern you're going to have is the age and the injury. But like you said, you know, when you have a 10.9 walk percentage versus a 10.3 strikeout percentage, that's damn impressive.
Yeah, I like Justin Turner a lot. I'm going to be in on him this year. I think he's just as solid, really as solid as they come. I don't see holes. I don't see flaws. He's awesome as long as he can stay healthy, which I think he can. Mm-hmm. So I'm in on Justin Turner. Corey, were you in on Justin Turner?
Yeah, I was looking at Justin Turner the other night. He was about to be a member of the squad. I like all the measurables on Mr. Turner. I think he's a solid. He'll have a solid season.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he works out there in LA. It's where he wanted to be. There was some thought that he might get screwed over like Mike Moustakas, but he was able to re-sign with the Dodgers for a good amount, and it worked out for him, which I feel good about.
Possibly the greatest male ginger of all,
and possibly the greatest male ginger of all, better than Sean White, says Matt Motyka.
I'll go with that, you know.
Well, that'll work.
He doesn't have any issues.
No, he has no issues.
At least something that I'm aware of.
At catcher, Yasmani Grandal wants to reclaim his starting job. I know a lot of people like Austin Barnes, but these guys, it looks like, are going to be a strict platoon.
Barnes was going well ahead of Grandal for most of it. I think that's, you know, starting to change now. So everybody figured Grandal was out, Barnes is coming in. If you, like I like to say, if you just extrapolate those at-bats over the course of a season, I'm not buying it. I still like Grandal. I think Barnes is a good player, too. I just don't know how everything's going to work out.
Okay, so there you go. That's kind of the catcher situation. We talked about belly bombs. And then in left field, Matt Kemp, Jock Peterson. You doing anything?
I watch out. Alex Verdugo is the guy that could, at some point in a couple of months, be their everyday left fielder.
Right.
Hell of a player.
Okay. All right, when we come back, Mike Moustakas wasn't the only veteran to return to his team late last night. Another one did as well. And we break that down because it just became official. Cargo returning to Colorado next on FST.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Hey, our family.
Friday.
This is the Pittsburgh Pirates of the 70s.
I was promised Funkmaster Flex.
Oh, there you go.
Check out Fantrax.com. You can create the Ultimate Dynasty Keeper or redraft.
Hey, our family. Sorry, Fantrax.
Using Fantrax's free commissioner product, find out how it feels to have the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, plus player salary, contract options. At your fingertip, all of which are fully customizable. And with Fantrax's treasure, you can set league entry fees and safely distribute payouts without a third party, so you don't have to track down owners for payment. Enter promo code AL, that is AL, as in AL, for
Al Melchior, not American League.
No. For a chance.
We still got to talk to Mel. Oh, go ahead. Finish.
For a chance to win 10 private consultations with Fantasy Baseball Hour host, Al Melchior has a $109 value that you could win. Find out why Fantrax is the home of fantasy sports and check out Fantrax.com today.
I'm still confused about where Al going to get this $109 from.
Should ask him.
That's over $1,000, 10 has free consultations. You know, you can do it, well, not much, but you get something done.
Some people.
Yeah. 10 private consultations is $109, not $109 per consultation.
Oh, I thought it was $109 per consultation.
No, it's 10 consultations you get is $109 total.
Oh, I think I do better than that. I'm not talking to y'all for 109, 10 of y'all for 109. That's like $10 a pop.
Well, oh. At least you're not like Jake having to answer questions every 24 minutes.
Every 24 minutes, Jake has to answer questions on Slack.
That is the rule. Mm-hmm. You'll hear about that a little bit later when Jake joins us.
Yeah.
Cargo.
It's free, too. You don't get anything extra for that.
Cargo.
I wouldn't do it.
Returns to Colorado on a one-year deal, Matty.
Yeah, you know what? It pisses me off because I'm a David Dahl believer here. I want to see this kid get the opportunity. I think regardless, he's getting an opportunity this year, and we'll put up some numbers. But I'm trying to figure out what the Rockies are doing here. You know, you got about seven different outfielders. I mean, unless Ian Desmond's going back to first base, if that's going to be the case. I know all this Ryan McMahon love that's been brewing this offseason. So I'm just I'm a little perplexed here what they're doing. Instead of acquiring outfielders, I would be trying to acquire better pitching.
Yeah, you know, I think there's that love left with Carlos Gonzalez in Colorado, who became really the face of that franchise when Troy Tulowitzki was gone, and with Troy Tulowitzki as well, became that face with Nolan Arenado, and unfinished business. A team that went to the playoffs last year, Chicago back in Colorado, which certainly screws things up a little bit for Ryan McMahon, Ian Desmond, David Dahl, Ramon Tapia. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is he's been a stud. I mean, the last 4 years have been phenomenal for Charlie Blackmon. I just think, you know, I thought maybe this offseason would be the time to possibly get that pitcher in return to go with John Gray and have that foundation. I mean, look, it's tough to move a guy of that caliber in Blackmon, but if you want to get something that you need,
yep,
they desperately need, look, these other pitchers that they have after John Gray, you know, they need to be like the fourth and fifth guys.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you said the same thing about Milwaukee as well, with all the garbage that they have in their rotation, a team that's trying to be pretty good this year. They need pitching desperately as well. I want to go back to Kansas City for a moment. We talked about Jorge Soler, and you said Whit Merrifield, this signing could be good for him because now he'll get on base and someone will drive him in, theoretically. Whit Merrifield is still kind of going in the same place he has been all offseason. Why not more love for Whit?
I'm getting more love for him just for the... I mean, I drafted him like when I was in first pitch Arizona that first weekend. I really haven't drafted him since.
Right.
You're paying a high price tag. And the reason I think he can give you the steals and these numbers, maybe he's not hitting whatever. He hit almost 20 homers last year. Maybe he hits like 13. I don't know. But I think the steals will be there. Because in September, he was like, his stolen base percentage was terrible. I mean, he got thrown. I think he stole eight and got thrown out six times. That's not going to cut it. But the flip side is, this team is in it's a rebuilding team. Whit Merrifield is going to get all the playing time as long as he's healthy to show. And maybe at some point, if you know, teams want him, somebody loses a second baseman and needs that versatility, come the midseason, he could get traded to a contender. So the one thing I will say about Merrifield, the thing I would like, I think that's positive for him, is he's going to play. And he's going to get the opportunity to steal bases, score runs. I mean, you're happy that, you know, he's going to score runs now. You got guys like Moustakas. You hope Soler does turn, you know, does come to fruition here. And I think like Hunter Dozier is going to get every opportunity this season with the Royals. And not to forget, they did sign Lucas Duda.
They certainly did. So there's some power out there in Kansas City. But I want to know if they can pitch as well, because Danny Duffy's a name that I know Frank Stanfield brought up off the air to both of us yesterday. Mm-hmm. Danny Duffy was a guy that was going as a top 25 pitcher a year ago. The stuff's always been there. The health's been an issue. A DUI was an issue for Danny Duffy. What? Your DUI, you just perked up?
You want to know what's crazy about Duffy? He got that DUI like in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
He was day drinking with me and Nando.
And it all comes to life.
And it all comes full circle. Danny Duffy was chilling with me and Nando. Me and Nando got in the Uber, though. Danny Duffy got in the car.
Mistake.
Yeah, it was a mistake on Danny Duffy's part.
Yeah.
I'm not going to judge Danny Duffy, though.
He's got a drive-thru, too, though. Something like that.
Yeah, it's true. Why don't Danny Duffy have a homeboy rolling with him to take care of this?
What do you think of Danny Duffy?
I, I look, for where he goes, I'm fine. The problem with Duffy, I was a guy that always kind of liked him, and one of the best things for him was going to the bullpen. You know, a thing we talked Dodgers, a guy I wanted to mention, and I just want to throw him in real quick because it's similar, is Alex Wood.
Yeah.
I was kind of staying away from Wood. We saw that second half, the velo drop and stuff. Alex Wood's going to the he's going to pitch out of the stretch all year.
Yeah.
I think that's a big bonus for him.
Okay.
That's something that's going to make me maybe get back in at Alex Wood. His stock has fallen. His ADP has fallen. So now I'm, you know, I don't like to write people totally off because everybody has a price. And even like Danny Duffy, he's not a guy that I'm going out of my way to obtain, but I think he's priced right. I'm always going to worry about him getting hurt, but he's on a bad team, so people don't really want him for that. But I think he can offer you things, and he can do things at that price that I'm going to be interested in. So because of his price, I'm interested. I think there is still some upside, but I'm not going to go out of my way for him.
Yeah, Danny Duffy, as a, you know, listen, the price is fine. You're getting him as a number three or four starter. I like that. I think Danny Duffy's a solid guy for your fantasy rotation.
Yes, not your fantasy staff. No. Your fantasy rotation.
I can't wait to have Shepherd's Pie with the King next Friday night.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it. Everything, the whole deal, Tout Wars, the whole crew.
Yeah, Friday.
Oh, I can't wait to see Kyle Al Frank. I'm extremely concerned about your lack of on base percentage.
We should do like the Rick James.
Yeah. You think I should approach Kyle Al Frank about all the trash he was talking about me the other night?
And then I hope he approaches you and all the trash you've been talking since.
He's not going to approach me.
Let's be real.
Yeah, he's not going to approach me. You think I should approach him?
You want?
He's going to be like, Ray.
Yeah, Ray, come, Ray, get here quickly, Ray. I'm going to get him.
We've been talking about Royals here, Matt. We've been talking about Royals here. And I want to ask you about a former Royal, and that's Zach Greinke. Every year we hear this dude in spring training.
Oh, I'm so happy you brought this up.
Oh, no, my velocity's not up anymore. I'm throwing 85. It's the same exact thing we heard last year, and I believed it. I will be totally honest with you. I bought into it last year. I didn't want Zach Greinke anywhere. I believe you were in none of that series.
I had him outside
of that top 15.
I had him at 20. I had him and Keuchel like 2021 or 1920. And then with him at the velo, and then Keuchel had some injuries he was still dealing with. I moved him to like, you know, 29-30, 30-31.
I distinctly remember that last year. You know, and Zach Greinke was awesome.
Once that gets in your subconscious, you're kind of like, well, maybe I'll take this guy over him.
Correct. So now Greinke's saying, again, the velocity isn't there. And he's even leaking the media, quote, I'm not sure I have it anymore, unquote. Now, this is a guy that hates the media. He's had, obviously, his social anxiety issues.
Oh, he's Trump.
He does not. Yeah. The difference is, Donald Trump loves the media.
Yeah.
He's like the anti.
Correct. So, the thing with Greinke was that he hates the media, so he likes to probably toy with them and whatever. Now that he's done it before, where he didn't have the velocity, it makes me think, all right, in spring, he works on his stuff. He doesn't throw as hard. He saves the bullets for the regular season. Are you buying that he's lost it, Matt?
I don't think he's lost it. I never want to hear about, you know, he's throwing 87 or something. It terrifies me. But we saw what happened last year. Now you put the humidor in here. You know, last year, he doesn't have to throw 95 miles an hour. I want him throwing like 91 at least.
Yeah.
I want him in the low 90s. I don't know. This is, like, I got burned last year.
Yep.
He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball if you take away 2016. He had one bad year. He got injured there too. You know, that was a disaster season for him. But besides that, he has been one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are you buying what Zach Greinke's saying?
Oh, yeah. I'm a Zach Greinke guy. Oh, yeah.
So you're not buying it then? You're not buying that he's lost it?
No, Zach Greinke ain't lose nothing. Zach Greinke still is going to be a beast. Zach Greinke, like, has been a tremendous pitcher for the majority of his career. At some points, I think you could say Zach Greinke was the best pitcher in Major League Baseball before, like, Clayton Kershaw took over that spot. So I roll with Zach Greinke. He can always play for me.
Okay.
Well, this season, I mean, he put up numbers. I did a tweet, like, a week or so ago. I put his 27 season, and then I put that against his three-year average in Los Angeles. And it was pretty much spot on. He had a higher strikeout rate last year.
Sure. Right. So that's kind of the deal with Zach Greinke and spewing and whatnot for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Humidor is there. Speaking of the Diamondbacks, Patrick Corbin not getting enough love right now, in my opinion.
It's tough, though. He had a great, you know, I even wrote about him where, you know, it's in intervals. He looks great for like seven starts, and he's got to put it together.
Sure. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to hear Corey's thoughts on Stevie franchise. Let's do it next here on FST.
Calling all drivers. Want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
We're back here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Make sure you catch the DKMX 2018 March Madness special Monday, March 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hosted by Craig Carton. Get the edge on filling out your bracket with analysis from Mike Blewett, Brad Evans, and myself. And if you're looking to make some money, Gabe Morenci, Blackjack Fletcher will line your pockets. The broadcast will be simulcasted on our YouTube channel as well. It's DKMS 2018 March Madness special, Monday, March 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I was watching a lot of college basketball last night, Corey. I was getting into tourney mode, and I didn't even know 2 years ago ESPN changed championship week to champ week.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that either.
That's a terrible move.
Very weird. It was 2 years ago because I read about it. I was like, when the hell did they do this? Mm-hmm. And Dan Shulman's like, welcome to champ week. I'm like, what? Did not like that.
That does not sound.
No. It doesn't sound like where it should be.
No.
So I watched a lot of college basketball.
I like
basketball.
Dan Shulman,
though. Love Dan Shulman.
Yeah, Dan Shulman's excellent.
I was watching a lot of college basketball last night, checking in everywhere. Duke, to me, is the best team in the country. I watched UNC Miami.
I don't call the Brotherhood for nothing.
UNC got down 13-0. Roy Williams pulled out every one of his players. They then were winning at halftime on a stupid foul, and then they blew him away in the second half. Best game of the night was Butler and Seton Hall. Awesome, awesome game.
Okay, I didn't get to see none of that.
Really, 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 really
I've been
game.
More on the ACC tournament, to be honest with you.
Big East is fun, though. Gus Johnson, Bill Raftery.
Yeah, I love Gus and Bill.
You know
they do
the
a
best.
Fantastic job.
So, the back and forth, Seton Hall and Butler all game long.
Mm-hmm.
Seton Hall took a one-point lead. 9 seconds left. So Butler inbounds the ball from under their basket. They have two timeouts yet. They don't call a timeout. As the best kid of Butler, whose name I'm forgetting now, dribbles up the ball, Raftery immediately calls out, look at so-and-so for the putback. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Butler kid drives to the basket, lays it in, misses it. Damn guy that Raftery called for the putback, puts it right back
Bill
in.
Bill Raftery is one of the best color analysts in the business.
In any sport.
Yes. Across sports.
Doing it forever. Mm-hmm. Excellent job.
So that was awesome. Excited tonight. You got Butler Villanova, which I think should be awesome.
Who in Villanova?
Butler.
Butler and Villanova, yeah. That's going to be a goodie right there. That's a semifinal, right?
Semifinal.
Mm-hmm. That one sounds more like a championship.
Yeah.
A lot of Villanova people in this hotel.
Yes, there are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
the team is here, though.
I don't believe they are either. So you got Butler Villanova as one game in the Big East. The other Big East game we have is... Oh, it starts at 6:30. It starts early. I forgot. The other one is Providence and Xavier.
Yeah, I think Xavier get the best of Providence right there. Now, Providence has a big fan base, especially in this area. But I think Xavier's probably a little bit too good for them this year.
And then Xavier-Villanova, right now, it's both projected to be one seeds.
Yeah, so that'd be a
big
time.
Two Big East teams projected to be one seeds in March Madness.
Joe Lenardi. Bracketology.
And then the ACC, of course, you got Duke UNC, and then you got Virginia, currently the number one team in the country. That's the appetizer, of course.
Yeah.
You'll get Virginia taking on Clemson, I believe.
Yeah, Virginia and Clemson.
Virginia will not be in my Final Four.
Yeah, you see, Virginia. They scored 30 points. They beat you 30-12. It's not going to happen. I think they'll go to the Sweet 16, but they'll run into a team that has a little bit too much offense for them. Yeah, and
The year they should have went was where Syracuse went. Like they beat Syracuse three times that year.
Yep.
and they fell down, and it was crazy. Yeah. They were winning by 11 at halftime. I could not believe it when Virginia fell right then and there in the Elite Eight, did not make it to the finals. And that was the Malcolm Brogdon team.
Oh.
If I remember correctly. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Jake Seeley will join the program. And I do want to speak of college basketball. Maryland Terrapins star Steve Francis came out with a Players Tribune article, which I have a feeling Corey Parson has strong feelings about. So let's talk about Steve Francis, Players Tribune. We'll get Jake's thoughts on that as well. When we return, hour number two on the way next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Fantasy Sports Today. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, and Jake Seeley joins the program. What's going on, Jakey Jakey?
What's going on, Greggy Greggy?
Not too much, man. It's Friday, feeling good, ready to rock. CP.
What's up?
The story of the day yesterday, I'd say, with Steve Francis in the Players Tribune article about his career before Maryland, his career in the NBA, and then what happened afterward.
Yeah.
Everybody's raving about it, saying it's the best piece you'll read of the week. And you came in here and you're like, I got issues.
Slow down with this. First and foremost, shout out to Steve Francis, Stevie Franchise. Great basketball player, great University of Maryland Terrapin. You know what I mean? An interesting story and all of that. First, let me say this. Steve Francis aged like avocado. The man looks terrible, to be 100% honest with you. Steve Francis looked terrible.
I didn't read the article. Yeah. I saw a picture. I was like, oh.
Steve, what is wrong with Steve Francis? Anyway.
You know who also looks terrible? Danielle Marshall. You should look that up.
Oh, really? Right. Danielle look Marshall looked bad, too. Oh, Redman also aged terribly, too. Right. So, now, great, you know, people are talking about this great piece that Steve Francis wrote and stuff like that. But the thing about it is, it's fiction. You feel what I'm saying? Well, this is not real.
Why so?
A lot of this is fabricated. Because he talked about how he was selling crack in Washington, D.C. in the crack era.
Yeah.
He wasn't old enough.
Well, he was saying that he was 10 years old inside a payphone booth or whatnot.
So 10 years old, little corner boy on a payphone.
Is that realistic?
That is realistic, okay. But he wasn't out there. He wasn't that. What it was probably was more just him out there.
Okay,
and it probably wasn't
The kid from The Wire. What was
exactly something like that. But he wasn't out there like that. See, here's the thing. This is why I call BS on what Steve Francis is talking. He may have been out there, may have been around that, but you're playing basketball. His life was playing basketball.
Well, he said it wasn't.
No, his life, you can't make it to the NBA, be the rookie of the year if it wasn't.
What he was saying was that he would just, you know, dribble. And
shoot the ball through the hoop. You have to play some kind of organized ball. Well, BS.
He said he played a year of AAU,
mm-hmm.
and the AAU dudes, the one that got him to junior college in Texas.
But he had to have some kind of formal education. He was playing more basketball. So he's trying to come, in my opinion in this, he's trying to come across as this crack dealer.
Yeah.
He was not that. He may have been a little runner on the corner, a hopper, mm-hmm. from a little bit. But by the time he got to 12, 13, 14 years old and started pushing towards high school, he was playing basketball.
Sure.
That's how he was able to get, you know, he probably didn't do the school thing good in AAU and then junior college. But all of this, 18 of us in the house, this is all, in my opinion, and this is fiction. This is not true. Steve Francis, I think a lot of this is BS.
What's the point of writing it then?
Huh?
You didn't gain anything by writing it.
Attention.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of people that they lie for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he just wants to be back in. I'm not saying it's fact or fiction. I have no idea. But
it's highly fabricated.
I kind of agree with Corey a lot.
It's fabricated.
He had to be playing a lot of basketball. You don't get to that level by.
He wanted to. He's talking about coming back to DC for a crack to build his crack empire. Really? He was fronting.
Jake, did you read the piece?
Nope.
Because Jake knew he was fronting.
We'll talk more of the Olin Kennedy these guys next.
Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix Canvas High Top, Low Top, Slip-On, and Kids Tennis Style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
My bad. I googled Donyell Marshall in the break.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I wasn't making that up.
No, you was not making it up.
What happened to Donyell Marshall?
I don't really want to comment on it because I don't know if he's sick or not. Yeah. But he's a head coach. He's the head coach of the Central Connecticut. He's the head coach of Central Connecticut. Yeah, but he did something.
Something happened to him.
Oh my God.
Oh, right?
Yikes.
I saw that last night. I was like, what? Fantasy Factor is a perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going on right now. Free entry into the March Madness bracket and a Sweet 16 bracket. Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby this year. Sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Jake, how come you didn't read the Steve Francis article?
Could have cared less, honestly.
Why?
Because I couldn't care less. It doesn't interest me at all.
He wasn't interested in it. Jake's, well, he's a North Carolina. Maybe he doesn't like Steve Francis because he's a Tar Heel.
No, I just couldn't care less. I heard you mention it briefly for a second yesterday. That was the first time I ever heard of it, and I didn't even bother to go read about it. I just don't care.
Not a Steve Francis guy.
Not a Steve Francis
guy. I don't care about the Players Tribune.
You're not a Players Tribune guy, Matt? You're not interested
in it? This one seemed like he wrote it, though, and not someone wrote it for him.
No, it does seem like he wrote it.
It seemed like he wrote this one. I know it's like hard to believe. I understand that. But it seems like he wrote this one.
It does seem like he wrote it. He might have, well, I would be more interested in reading the Quentin Richardson one on there.
I would like to read the Q Rich one also.
Yeah, I would be more interested in that. Why you don't like the Players Tribune, Matt? You just not.
It's not that I don't like it. I just...
Shut up and dribble. Now let me stop. I'm teasing.
No, I didn't hear you say that. When all sorts of. Look, it's all sorts of sports.
And, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly like players just trying to, you know. Toot their own horn, yeah. Or this and that.
Do you remember when Negative Nancy, Jake, was all about, like, Old Dominion will never make it because they're running to Middle Tennessee State?
Yeah.
Middle Tennessee State lost.
Is that what I said?
Yes!
Is that what I said yesterday?
Yes!
Is that exactly what I said? No, that's not what I said.
It's basically what you said.
Go back and play the tape. I said the only hurdle they have is them. So,
not positive that you're like, they're probably not going to make it because they can't beat Middle Tennessee State.
No, I said the only way they could get is they have to win the tournament, and they have lost to Middle Tennessee State already this year, so it's not looking great.
Optimist.
No, did that sound optimistic?
Yes.
Go back and play the tape. Don't try to turn my words.
So
what's 24 hours.
So what's the final?
Middle Tennessee State lost last night to Southern Miss.
So now it's Southern Miss versus ODU?
So now
no, well, Southern Miss barely got through last night's win. So ODU needs to win this tournament to get in. The path is clear now. They were easily the second best team in Conference USA, but it's far from a guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, this next game for Old Dominion against Western Kentucky is a tough one.
Yeah,
they're good. Western Kentucky.
No, Western Kentucky can play. No, let me see if my team is going to make the NCAA tournament this year. Y'all can talk about something else while I look up the information on the MEAC tournament.
Your team was retired.
Well, I mean, my alma mater, well, the school that I, the college that I attended. Now, you know, the
I have MEAC up right now.
The MEAC is responsible.
Oh, North Carolina Central won.
You NCNU won, and Central won?
Central won. They faced A&T in the championship game.
Well, then my team is not going there.
No.
No? Sorry about that. Well, they'd be all right. They've been before. Now, you know the MEAC pulled off the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history. Yes, the MEAC pulled off the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history.
Hampton over Kentucky?
No, not Kentucky.
Hampton over, it was a 15-2.
Yeah, it was 15-2.
They're not the only ones, though.
Not anymore, because Lehigh beat Duke as well.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Lehigh beat Duke as 15-2, I believe. But it was Hampton, it was many years ago now. Hampton over...
Dayton was in the belly.
Oh,
he was. I remember. It was me and Jamika was watching it together. Jaden was in the belly.
Oh my God, I remember this now. It's somebody like random now. It's not that good anymore, right?
Their coaches. I believe their coach might be in the NBA.
Their coach.
Well, their most famous coach might be in the NBA, but not the coach of that team.
That's not a helpful clue. The team.
They, Greg,
yes.
they changed conferences within probably the last 7 or 8 years.
They changed conferences.
You want to call Mike Florio for a lifeline?
Yeah. No, he's not. He's sleeping.
I'll give you one more.
Mike the model is sleeping.
Greg,
yep.
Big 12 SEC. There you go.
Big 12 to the A&M?
That's not Missouri.
Missouri.
No, Jake, is not Missouri.
That's who Norfolk State beat.
Mm-mm. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're not saying Norfolk State. We're saying Hampton.
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 Oh, Hampton. I was thinking Norfolk State. Well, Norfolk State did it, too.
And Norfolk State won as the 15th seed? I don't think so.
Norfolk State did. Florida.
Iowa State.
Okay.
It's Fred Hoiberg. Fred Hoiberg you're talking about.
They beat Missouri 86-84.
What year was that?
That is correct. Norfolk State beat Missouri 86-84 in 2012.
There was 2 15 seeds that won that year. Wow. That's when Duke lost to Lehigh.
I believe the Norfolk State team was Kylo Quinn, right?
Yeah.
I'm not. Okay.
Kylo Quinn.
Well, I was talking about when Hampton beat Iowa State.
Yeah.
That's Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lehigh team against Duke was C.J. McCollum.
Yeah.
As we all know.
By the way, it's actually happened 8 times.
Oh, 8 times?
Oh, and Florida Gulf Coast, of course. Beat Georgetown. Remember that? JT3?
Yeah, I remember that. JT3. Good for him.
Duke City.
Tennessee State, who we were just talking about, just won in 2016. They beat Michigan State.
I had like Michigan State in my championship.
Wow, the 15 seed's getting it done. A 16 has never beat a 1, though.
Now, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I hope it's not. I don't know that it is.
You think it'll ever happen, Jake? Really?
No, because the 16 seeds are always like the Liberties and the Winthrops and the, you know, like that's the problem is that the 16 seeds are the 16 seeds because that there's a reason for
but
that.
But the 15 seeds are the 15 seeds.
Yeah, but the difference is why I brought up that is because I was comparing the Big South to Conference USA. That's the thing. You get the 15 seed. It's tier wise. There's a big drop off from the 15 seeds to the 16 seeds. You know that. It's like Conference USA is a much better conference than the Big South.
Sure, but like some of these.
And I think that's why. That's why I don't think it's ever going to happen. Is because I think that you could almost compare like a 15 seed to 16 seed drop off is almost like what we're talking about right now. You're dropping a tier in your fantasy draft.
Somebody would have to get injured in the one seed would have to have a player get injured in the championship game, then go into the NCAA tournament as the one seed
and
then get knocked off. I think that's how more than likely it would happen if a 16 was to take down a one.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I have more confidence than you guys do. Like I've seen when Lehigh
I just pulled up this article. So how about this, Greg?
Yeah.
Only 25% of the matchups have come within single digits for the lower single team for the 16 seeds.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago there was a relatively close one, but you know, I don't remember what it was. It didn't happen. College basketball, it's great. It's great.
March Madness special on Monday with you and Craig Carton.
Me and Craig Carton and Mike Blewett.
Oh, and Mike Blewett, too.
Mike Blewett as well.
And Black Jack Fletcher.
Black Jack Fletcher.
I don't know who the hell that is.
You'll see it. Maybe you won't. I don't think you'll be here. So.
I'm trying to avoid it. I probably will. Is Black Jack Fletcher coming in the studio? I hope he don't wear nothing crazy.
He will.
He will.
All right.
He's kind of like Don Cherry.
Yeah, it's a part of his thing.
Yeah.
Shout out to Black Jack Fletcher.
So there you go. That's our March Madness special. Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern.
What are they paying him? Racket.
Probably more than us.
In suit jackets.
Money blazers.
So my March Madness pool that I do every year it got shut down.
What happened?
I was the
FBI.
I was in Ron and Mike.
Yeah,
I told you about that. That was my favorite pool of the year. And then, all right,
you're trying to.
So then I was going to say something, but I don't want to say that on the air. So I'll tell you.
Tell me in the break.
I think I was about to say the same thing, Greg.
What's crazy? Speaking of saying stuff on air, right? Okay, it was a situation on a DMV radio station yesterday.
Yeah.
Where the two male hosts, it made it seem like the female host said something about hiring a babysitter.
Okay.
And then people started hitting her up on her social media. About being her babysitter.
Okay.
One of the girls was very attractive.
One of the babysitters?
One of the babysitter candidates was very attractive. And she said on the radio that she wasn't going to bring that woman into her home because she doesn't want her man, you know, in the house
getting
with
ideas.
This woman.
Getting ideas.
Too many movies where the husband drove the babysitter home.
The two male co-hosts reached out to the girl. She said no and brought her in studio.
Oh, that's messed up.
See, my thing is this. Once you bring something on the radio airwaves,
it's all fair game.
It's all fair game.
It was the girl who was the host actually left. She got so mad she left.
Well, you know what? To be fair to the girl that brought in, it's like the female co-host. It's just like, it's a compliment, right? Like, you're too good looking. I'm not sure about my husband. Like, yeah. It's a compliment, really.
But the woman was like, well, listen, it's International Women's Day. How could you come at? And she started going at the girl. And the girl who was the host of the radio show got up and left out.
And this is what?
And it's called The Fam. It's in on Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. So nobody's going to get me to leave this. I don't care who you bring in here. Nobody's going. This is my trap house.
Right.
This is my trap house.
You're microphone.
Exactly.
Your show.
Exactly. I got to be here tomorrow.
Right.
Not this other person. That was a bad move by that young lady.
Yeah.
So I just want to set off air. And I wanted to ask you guys, are you a sheet of integrity guy? Nah, Greg's a multi-sheet guy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jake, are you a sheet of integrity guy?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
NCAA tournament brackets.
Oh, I am a sheet of integrity guy. I'm a sheet of integrity guy.
Matt, you're a sheet of integrity?
I'm a sheet of integrity guy, but like when I did the Jody's pool in Staten Island, we had to pick the final four teams. It wasn't doing the whole bracket.
Yeah.
I was just picking the four teams, $10 an entry.
So you did multiple of those?
I would do those.
Okay.
One sheet.
Jake, sheet of integrity?
We're out of time. I'll tell you when we come back.
All right.
Fair enough. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's baseball, too. Stick around. FST, FNT as well.
Watch Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9 on Twitch.tv from the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 every Monday through Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern. Do you want to be a part of the show? Take part in the Twitch chat room and give me your opinions or call in 844-84-FNTSY. Go to twitch.tv/Craig Carton live and get in on the action. Come get some. It's Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9, only on Twitch.tv.
Too much?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair. I'm not Mr.
I'm not
Mr. Whatever, but yeah. That's a little too far.
Okay.
As a reminder, every 3 minutes an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor within their family. But that's how you can help. Go to dkms.org/fntsy today and sign up online and register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks and send it back to them, and that's it. You're done. DKMS will then try and match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy, but best of all, you can actually save someone's life. Not metaphorically. Quite literally. Check out dkms.org/fntsy today to see how you can help. Jake, are you a bracket or sheet of integrity guy?
So yes and no. That's why I said it, because I can't answer. Because here's the thing. For what I'm going to do as like my main bracket, like the one that I'm going to refer to when people are like, oh, how are you bracket doing? Yes, I am. But similar to fantasy baseball, as Matt always says, and fantasy I also diversify if I'm in multiple contests. If I'm paying money at work, if I'm paying money to a bunch of my friends that I know, I'm going to diversify because there's a very good chance my bracket's not going to be right. Guess what? It's not going to be right after day one. There's a very good chance. So that's the thing, is I diversify if I have money going across different pools that I joined in. But for the one that I'll put out there is like, this is my final four. These are my picks. This is the one. And I'll reference, oh, I've got 82% right. I always refer to my main one bracket that I believe is my integrity. Like, that's my integrity one. I'm not going to say, oh, my seventh bracket's doing the best. That's the one I'm only going to talk about. And I always refer to my integrity bracket. But if I'm playing in multiple pools, I am going to diversify.
I get that. I can dig that.
That's cool. What about you?
Because he's not going to be like, oh, look, I won. Well, you like, that's your seventh bracket. So he has a sheet of integrity, then he has other brackets.
Sure.
I'm a sheet of integrity guy. I'm a one sheet. Yeah. I'm a one sheet. I'm a one pop Charlie.
Yeah. I
Sorry, Mr. Sussman. Satire, Mr. Sussman is satire. I don't mean to be. This is why your pops told me the other day to behave myself.
Probably.
Yeah. Sorry, Mrs. Sussman.
I think you're going to have an after school meeting.
Yes. One sheet of integrity. One sheet, Greg?
One sheet.
Matt?
Yeah, why don't you?
Only because I've honestly found the bracket itself less and less interesting as more other pools pop up that are more exciting. Like, the bracket's like whatever, you know, you root for your team, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there's other ways to get involved in every other game besides just, like, betting on the game. Like, there's other pools you can do. Like I was saying, that I used to do, like, a Survivor pool, that I found another pool, like a box pool I do now, which is cool. It's a lot of other
stuff. Ever since that Jody's pool ended, my love for college basketball has waned.
Has it eroded? Has he eroded?
It's waned a bit.
All right. I know you wanted to get into this, Corey, so I wanted to bring it up.
What's up?
DeMarco Murray was cut yesterday.
Jeez, Craig, I was trying to... If we did this earlier... then we would have forgot about it. But now I was getting ready to lead off the next hour with this. But go ahead. We're here now.
Sorry. I thought we're here now. I thought I could do that instead of baseball. Like,
we're here now. Let's do it. Let's do it, Greg. We're here now. Yeah, we just got to... Me and Jake just going to have to rehash it.
We're going to be engaged in the conversation.
Me and Jake just going to have to rehash it in the next hour again. The three of us go...
You know, everybody's tuning in from 8 till noon.
True. Yeah, I feel you. You're right. They should.
The Titans cut DeMarco Murray
yesterday,
leaving Derrick Henry as the man for now. They're going to bring somebody else in. It's not going to be Derrick Henry's backfield by himself. But right now, Corey, Derrick Henry's got the whole thing to himself.
Derrick Henry has the whole thing to himself. He'll be drafted accordingly. I would have him... You see? I have him rock solid as going into 2018.
Right now.
I don't care who they put on the team.
Okay, oh, really? It doesn't matter.
He's a pass catcher running back. He's going to get the goal line work. Everything points to Derrick Henry being the guy. Derrick Henry is an RB1 who should go on the turn.
Turn might be a little harsh for me.
I'm sorry. The turn
of the second round.
The 1-2 turn. Derrick Henry will live on the 1-2 turn.
Okay.
Derrick Henry will die on the 1-2 turn.
Jake, your thoughts?
Listen to the Roto experts and apparently listen to OT as well, because I guess we're doing this three times today, the same thing I've done yesterday on Twitter and I've done since. Derrick Henry is the most overrated running back heading into 2018 as of today. If you have him in Dynasty, sell now. If you have any keeper leagues where you can trade and do sell now, he is not a top 12 running back, let alone the people talking about top 5. They need to get off their damn rockers over here, because the fact is they are adding somebody, Corey. They are going to add a pass catching compliment. And the fact is, look, I like Derrick Henry. Don't get me wrong. And I actually even said when he got drafted that people don't realize he's actually a decent pass catcher. He just wasn't used that way at Alabama that much. That being said, he's not great. He's not even very good at pass catching. They are going to add a compliment. And to all this being said, I'm going to compare him to one running back, which I think is the perfect comparison of what his value will be, and that's Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard is not a pass catching running back. He's better than people think, because they see the drops and don't realize he caught almost 25 passes last year. That's who Derrick Henry's going to be. He's going to be inconsistent. He's going to run for like 12, 1300 yards, just like Jordan Howard did. He's going to run for 8, 9 touchdowns, just like Jordan Howard did, but he's going to be inconsistent. And he's not going to do a lot in the passing game. That is fringe one. That is in PPR RB15. That's who Derrick Henry is.
Matt?
I mean, I got to look at the list of running backs. He's definitely not a top 5 running back. I'm going to say, from the top of my head, like I said, the only draft I did was that mock draft we did back then. And I'd see him more towards, you know, middle to later of the second round. I'm not seeing where I'm taking him. I'm taking Barkley over him, you know. I'm assuming Barkley's going to land in a wherever he's going to land, where he can catch the ball, he can do it all. But I will say this. I really don't care who they bring in, because I think he's going to get the touches. He's going to get the goal line work as well. So I think based on that volume, and if he does add pass catching to his repertoire, that's only going to
happen. I think he can catch 35 to 40 passes.
Nah, not happening. So, Greg, what we do? When we're trying to figure out where somebody ranks, right? And we don't know exactly what players should go ahead. You know what we do? You know what we do, Greg, right?
I do, Jake. You make a list.
We make a list!
I love it.
Yeah, all right. All right, Jake?
I wanted to... I was saving this whole bit right here.
Everything
was a part
doing,
of the next hour. Yes.
I'm just taking it from
because I knew he was going to do the make the list thing.
We can drink 40s on the OT today.
It's Friday.
Let's go get some.
You know what we do when Corey has something planned? For the OT.
We steal it.
We don't want to do right now, right?
We steal it.
We steal the list.
Let's do it.
Let's steal the list, Jake. Let's get into it.
Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Kareem Hunt, Ezekiel.
You just made the list. There it is. All right.
Now, what wrestler does this, by the way?
It's Chris Jericho.
Right here. Chris Jericho.
Right there.
He's even got the list of Jericho on his hand.
The glass is The Rock.
Love it.
He's in between AJ Styles and The Rock.
That's The Rock with the glasses?
Here, hold on. Yep, that's The Rock. See, he's even got the list in his hand.
Why is The Rock so tiny?
There you go, there's Jericho.
Yes, that is Jericho, as I put him back. So you want to run through this?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Well, I'll just do the top five again, and we don't even need the conversation there. Bell, Gurley, Johnson, Kareem Hunt, Ezekiel Elliott.
Easy. Boom. Gurley, Johnson.
Right? Easy. All of those dudes ahead of him. No
Absolutely.
Problem.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, so let's keep going. Alvin Kamara.
Yes.
Yes.
Melvin Gordon.
Yes.
Yes.
Saquon Barkley.
Yep, for me.
Doesn't it depend where he goes?
He's either going to go to the Browns or the Giants.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where he goes.
I'll take Barkley.
All right. Leonard Fournette.
That's where it gets close. Right now, we're on the 1-2 turn right now.
I'll take Fournette.
You take Fournette.
Chris Ivory's gone.
That doesn't matter. Yellen was the guy before.
Yeah, I'm going to take Fournette. I am going to be worried about that ankle.
Now, mind you, you're talking about 13 games of Leonard Fournette. 13 games.
We've never seen much of them play a full season either.
This is true, but right now we're on the 1-2 turn with Fournette. So who's next?
Okay, I thought you were going to continue with that. So all right, Fournette. So now we still have Devontae Freeman.
This is where it's close right here. Because Devontae Freeman ain't going to catch the passes either.
I know.
Oh, really?
He's going to get him and Henry are the same guy.
Devontae Freeman caught 36 last year.
He caught. I think Freeman could catch 35 to 40. I mean, not Freeman.
Derrick Henry's not catching 35 to 40.
I think Henry can catch 35 to 40.
We have a bet.
We'll see each other sometime during the season.
The
season you need to start. We'll put a lunch. We'll bet lunch on that.
Rock and Riley's lunch?
Rock and Riley's lunch.
Wow.
I like that.
Jake?
All right, so I go.
Do we have a bet, Jake?
What?
Rock and Raleigh's lunch.
Rock and Raleigh's lunch.
I don't know that Corey's got that lot of coin.
I don't, but I'll figure it out. I'll be all right. The Rock and Raleigh's lunch.
Did you say Freeman?
$20.
Wait. I want to hear the bet. Is the bet 35 or 40?
30. Over 30. Over. Derrick Henry will have over 35 receptions.
All right. And you say you take the under, Jake, correct?
So it's 34 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said 35 before, so let's say 37 and a half. And also that way you can't have a push.
I go 34 and a half.
Do it the other way.
You can't keep going lower. No, you said 35 to 35.
So 35 and a half is what it should be.
Yeah.
35
So 35 and a half.
That's fair.
No. 35 and a half. Pull your balls and sack up. You said 35 to 40.
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on.
You said he ain't catching 35 passes.
You said he's not going to be an RB1. So I can tell you in a PPR he'll finish RB at least RB12 in a PPR. Sack up on that bet.
Do that twice for good. I'll get some good food twice.
All right, let's do it.
You'll hear more about that during next hour of FST OT, so I'll save the rest for that. We'll come back. Very welcome. We'll talk more next. Jake, Corey, Matt, Greg. It's Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
Do you love watching your fantasy players score a winning touchdown, like Derrick Henry? Now,
He did in the playoff game.
Yes, he did. Now imagine you actually got to call that touchdown play. The fan-controlled Fantasy Football League is putting play calling in the hands of fans with real professional football players running the action. From drafting rosters to voting on trades, the FCFL is one part coach, one part GM, and one part owner. This is all done through the fan token. Fans earn fan tokens each time their vote yields a successful outcome. The more fan tokens a fan earns, the greater power is attributed to their future votes. Visit FCFL.io to learn more about how you can take control.
Can I say one thing right quick, Mr. Sussman?
Go for it.
Oh, it's a lot of good basketball on TV tonight. You got the Wizards and the Pelicans. You got the Warriors and the Trailblazers. And you got the Cavaliers and the Clippers, right? And you got Duke and North Carolina. That's going to be a goodie right there.
Butler Nova.
You got Butler and Nova. Even though
West
Virginia, Texas Tech's good game,
too. Another good game. So it's a lot of good basketball.
Now, the Knicks still playing, or is this season over?
Well, they play the Bucks tonight. So maybe Giannis will drop his nuts on somebody's head again.
They're trying to get into the NIT.
So you know how that went down the last time Giannis went up against the Knicks, that poor kid. So, yeah, a lot of good basketball on TV tonight. I'm looking forward to it. This is a good night to get enhanced and watch basketball.
Yeah, I think my plan.
Oh, look, Auburn and Alabama play at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Not the same in basketball as it is in football. A little bit of a difference.
The Iron Bowl.
Yeah, a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, I'm going to eat some wings for sure, drink some beer.
Yeah. Can I ask you something, Greg?
Yeah, absolutely.
Virginia and Clemson.
I didn't catch it yesterday because he was on with you guys, but I see Ahmad Rosario is supposed to be in the Mets lineup today. I caught the end of it. Didn't Dr. A say that he shouldn't play for like a week or two?
Yeah, he did say he shouldn't be playing, but he's DH. But that's the Mets.
That's the Mets.
He's like their prize prospect.
Dr. A is also a little bit conservative when it comes to
this. Yeah, I understand that.
He is.
He said Marcus Stroman shouldn't be throwing yesterday. Stroman threw.
Feels great.
He said he feels good. But, you know, we take
But if you told me I'll take no Rosario for the next 2 weeks and just you might be behind to start the season versus potentially running down the Jose Reyes of, oh, it's his calf. Oh, now it's his knee. Oh, now it's his ankle. Now it's his hamstring. Now it's his groin. And dealing with that season, I'd rather get the 2 weeks out of the way now.
That's what a legitimate MLB team does. But then you have the Mets.
Then you have the Mets. Then you.
He'll probably play all nine innings.
Yeah.
Hey, you ever go to, like, sometimes you have, like, real weird dreams?
Sure.
And you ever go to a dream dictionary?
No.
You never been to a dream dictionary before?
No, what was dream?
I dreamed. This is crazy. This is crazy.
I dreamed a dream of times gone by.
I dreamed for a day when black children and white children knowledge. Different dream. No, this dream I had last night was a little bit scary because when you have a dream like this, it make you think, like, you know, because you try to, like, I want to read in the dream dictionary what the dream actually means. But I dream, I came home, and opened the door, and from underneath my bed came two little puppies. And I was like, oh, God. There ain't no more kids coming.
I thought it was that neighbor you had that lady.
How scary.
Because the puppies are like babies. So I'm just making sure that there's no more kids in my future.
Oh. I thought it was going to be like mine. 2 weeks ago, I got shot in my dream for the first time ever.
Oh, boy.
I woke up like, I mean, my blood pressure was probably through the roof, but this never happened to me before.
That's scary right there. So I got to check out the dream dictionary and see what puppies in the dream
mean. I didn't know there was a dream dictionary.
Yeah, Matt. I wonder who was in charge of this. To see a puppy in your dream symbolizes your playfulness and carefree nature. Okay. It also refers to a blossoming friendship. Interesting.
Where did you find this? Because I want to find out what happens when you get shot.
Go to
I'm sure Corey just looked that up for us.
Go to dreammoods.com.
What happens when you get shot? Find that one.
Okay, shot.
Control F, shot.
Very good. Okay, dream dictionary.
Yes.
Shooting.
Yes.
All right, here you go.
Here we go.
To see shooting in your dream indicates that you have to set a new goal and aim for to see a shooting in your dream indicates that you have set a goal and know what you want to aim for in your life. Your plans are on target. I swear, your plans are on target.
Right. Okay, that's
the exact
awesome
words.
Court.
Yes,
Court, that's awesome. But that says shooting, not getting shot. Right. I don't want to be the one on target.
To dream that someone is shooting you with a gun suggests that you are experiencing some form of confrontation in your waking life. Scott Angle. You may be feeling victimized in some situation. Uh-oh. If you dream that someone is shooting you.
I wonder what that's about, Corey.
So, Jake, I think you know where this is going, so maybe you should fill out some applications.
Maybe we all should.
Yeah, maybe so. Yikes. All right, so puppies seems like, okay, so puppies seem like it's a good thing. If you're taking care of a puppy, that means you are reliable and trustworthy.
What if you take a lot of?
To see a litter of newborn puppies in your dream is indicative of the amount of times that an idea has been developed or will take to develop. To look at the puppies to give you the number. Oh, so I saw two puppies. So I guess.
So do you have two ideas, or is that 2 months to develop, or 2 years? Like, what's the number?
It's indicative of the amount of time that an idea has been developing or will take to develop. So
that's pretty vague.
Yeah, it is. So it could be 2 months, 2 years.
What happens if,
as long as it ain't two kids? You're right, 2 decades.
What happens if, like, Donald Trump's in your dream, and
there could be a prostitute involved?
Oh,
a lot of pizzas.
I didn't see that coming from this side of the room.
I don't care. President, because you got to type president for that, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So if the president is in your dream.
Okay.
Let's see. All right. To see the president of your country in your dream,
yes,
symbolizes authority, power, and control. Your own personal views and opinions of the president and their action will also play strongly in the significance of this dream. Hmm. To dream that you are running for president signifies that your quest for power. You have set high goals for yourself. If you dream that you are the president, then it represents that your high level of self-confidence, you believe that you can do a better job if you were in charge of things.
These are all too positive for me.
Oh, you dreamed you was the president?
No.
You trying to take over?
No, okay.
Trying to take over Anthem Media. Well,
nope.
The grid.
Yeah. That sounds kind of like fortune cookie stuff.
Yeah, I agree with Jake.
Yeah.
That,
you're not buying it?
I could have written all that.
Okay. All right, cool.
I'm not an expert.
Look at yours, Corey. How much more vague can you get? It either signifies how long you've been thinking about it or how long it will take to develop, also not defining how long the time is.
That's true, too. I get it. I'm just glad I didn't say anything about somebody pregnant. You know, that's what I'm happy for. Or not somebody yet. Will get pregnant.
That would be bad.
No, that
a
would
stork
be,
will be arriving
that
at
would
your
be,
door.
God, that would be devastating.
That might be the end of the fantasy executive.
That would be devastating.
Yeah, no, that might be the end of the fantasy executive.
Woo! Let's change the subject.
Sure. And let's do it when I'm, like, with this. Get your RotoExperts exclusive Edge fantasy baseball package right now. This year's version is new and improved with more analysis than ever before, including an all-day Slack chat channel.
With?
The all-in kid, Jake Seeley.
One question answered every 24 minutes.
Every 24 minutes, a new question is answered. Inside of the package, you can also find stats, projections, and improved cheat sheet generators. You'll get tips from the award winner, Tim McCullough, and insights from Hall of Fame Scott Engel, and also, whenever he finishes them, rankings from Mike Florio.
If he can get up.
y'all need to literally, like, seriously stop joking about it, because it's advertisement now. And when it doesn't come to fruition, I'm pointing them all to you guys.
Yeah, you can point it all.
Point away.
Let's say something right quick. Like,
one more sentence. Enter code FNTSY at checkout and get your RotoExperts exclusive Edge fantasy baseball package right now. The promo code is FNTSY. Once again, RotoExperts.com. Exclusive Edge fantasy baseball package 2018. Promo code FNTSY.
I hate to talk
about kudos to.
Go ahead.
This is about the package. Kudos to Tim McCullough. Finished inside the top 10 for accuracy for the first time ever. I didn't finish in first place.
Oh,
what place did you finish in?
I think I was 16th, but I'm still number one for obviously the past 4 years. So I told him I was coming back for my title this year.
His cumulative ranking is still one.
Tim McCullough, man.
Tim McCullough having a good day.
Baseball awards he won, yeah, and now top ranker. Now drafting Randall Grichuk.
Yo, I wasn't gonna let that slide.
No way.
Yo, hold up. I hate to talk about stuff that go on other shows right now. But Skip Bayless just went on this rant about how Kevin Durant is clearly the best player in all of basketball.
Yeah.
I love him when he does that.
I gotta say, he's a buffoon, but he knows how to make money.
How much Skip make? What, $5-6 million a year?
Yeah,
at least that and what he's been able to make.
You know. Yeah. Shout out to Skip.
Being outrageous and just saying.
He once wrote an article calling Troy Aikman a homosexual.
Yes, he did. And now it's Troy's contract that he doesn't have to advertise Skip's show.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. He really called Troy Aikman that?
He wrote a contract. He wrote a column.
Call
in the Dallas Morning News calling Troy Aikman a homosexual. And, you know, he used to ride on the team plane, Skip Bayless. Mm-hmm. And Tony Casillas and offensive lineman, they backed Skip Bayless down and was about to rough him up.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Johnson was like, you told him to go ahead. And then they was like, nah, let him go.
So once Skip came to Fox and they're like pushing his show extremely hard, obviously, yeah. Undisputed, him and Shannon, they asked Troy Aikman about it because obviously he has to read the promo reads during NFL games. And
Troy said no?
Nope.
Good for him.
They only read like the Chris Carter ones. Yeah. And Nick Wright, right? Yeah. That show beforehand.
Are you a fan of Nick Wright?
So I was first, no.
But I would have been like Shannon and some Jackass. Like that. I would have just went with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Troy Aikman does not read those reads.
Would you sell your soul to become that popular, Corey?
Oh, he would for sure.
Sell my soul?
That's what Skip and all of them have done. That they all did is they sold their soul. They figure out instead of being an integrity and having being a real journalist, let me say the most outlandish crap I can possibly say, so I become hugely insane popular.
No, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't. Now, don't get me wrong. That kind of popularity is something that I would like.
A $5 million check.
Yeah, I would definitely. I mean, I would be that wild and outlandish. But I'm not going to go back on my core beliefs. You feel what I'm saying? So yeah. I wouldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't, you know, if I'm riding for something, I'm riding for it regardless. But I wouldn't mind being Skip Bayless.
Speaking of riding, Tiger Woods, co-leader.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
It's Friday morning, though.
It is indeed. All right, let's take a break. Come back. 5 more minutes. We got OT coming your way. Stick around. Final 5 minutes on FST for me this week is next. You on Fantasy Sports Today, FST, FNTSY, myself, Jake Seeley, hanging out with Matt Modica, Corey Parson, back for OT in a few moments. Yes, Jake.
Say, well, that gives us the time we can complain about how terrible Ronda Rousey is in wrestling.
Sure, let's do it. Let's do it. We got 5 minutes to do it. Ronda Rousey has not clicked.
Not clicked. She's been god-awful miserable, and I don't get it, Greg. I understand she's Ronda Rousey, but I don't get why people haven't already started booing. Like, you know, Corey asked me about it earlier this week, and I said we have people still booing Roman Reigns, even though he's lost the belt, that he went for the Intercontinental and had that and lost that. And the fact that he's been having great matches for a year plus, he's never going to be one of the elites for matches, but enough is enough. It's kind of old at this point. But they boo him still. They boo John Cena because, you know, he's just too a good guy, I guess, whatever you want to say for that. They booed the hell out of what's his face when he came back from acting, the one with the stupid tattoo,
The Rock,
about no the one with Batista. The belly button tattoo, Batista. Thank you. They booed the heck out of him when he got right back in the title picture, yet we have her who comes in, is taking the spotlight. I mean, well, she's not going for the title spotlight, closing out shows. She's probably gonna be one of the final matches for WrestleMania. And can't speak on the mic, and can't even make the proper, like, the moves that she made on Stephanie were terrible.
Yeah, I think she botched a move, to be honest with you. There's no way that her first move on Stephanie was supposed to be a Samoan drop. you're not Samoan. Nobody in that ring is Samoan, so very strange. I think it's coming. I don't know if it was the day after Raw or a week later where she did get booed. She got booed heavily. And this past week, she got cheered a lot. I think it's coming probably after Mania. I think they'll realize that her as a face just does not work. And I think I think if you think about like all the people that she's going to feud with after Stephanie, like the other women, like your Sashas, your Charlottes, your Oscars, those women are all going to get cheered over Ronda Rousey. Every one of them. And I think they know that.
Absolutely.
So I think she'll be a heel sooner than you think, and I think it'll be okay. I don't think they'll be afraid to turn her heel like they are with Roman. The problem with Roman Reigns is, yes, he gets booed because he was projected as being the man, and he's worked hard besides the whole like steroid thing that he's still currently involved in. And my problem is with him, with a lot of wrestlers, not just him, every match is the same. Like, he only has so many moves, and it kills me. I don't need to see 17 spears and 18 Superman punches. It doesn't do it for me. That's what made Rollins' 45-minute, an hour in the ring with him and Cena so good, because it was different.
Right. I think he's grown a little bit in that area, though.
Okay.
Like, I'll put it this way. He's definitely past Cena at this point.
I don't think so. I don't
really
agree. Yeah. I think Cena's got a lot of stuff that he can pull out. Like, remember that springboard stutter he was using for a while? He doesn't use
that
anymore.
That was awful, though.
I loved it.
He missed it so many times.
It was hysterical. But he was using it in every match for a while. Now he doesn't do that anymore.
No, Cena's just finding new ways to make his AA different. That's all he does.
No, it's just always off the top rope now. The best was when Rollins did it. That was really cool.
That was terrific. I told you, well, I specifically like that because when you're growing up and we were like, what would be your finishing move? I always said mine would be the crucifixion. I would do the crucifix off the top rope,
right,
and call it the crucifixion.
Of course you would. Mine was always that. It's actually a transitional move for a lot of people. Mine was always the inverted suplex, you know, because like when we were growing up, like suplex was like a big move. So I didn't understand why people just didn't like hold them up in the suplex form and then put them front face, kind of like Jeff Hardy does it.
Kind of like the arrow. Falcon arrow. Kind of like the Falcon arrow.
In a way, like the Falcon arrow. Yeah, but like not even like you have them up and you just put them down so they land on their chest. Not on their back at all. So, like, the reverse Falcon Arrow, if you will. That was cool. It was a big move, and not really. But, yeah. Huh. There's a pay-per-view this Sunday. It's called Fascinating.
No belts are changing. It's going to be sad.
I will also not be watching it. All right, Jake Seeley continues on for FSTOT. I'll be back for the BFFs in an hour. Have a fantastic weekend. Corey and Jake are going to argue some more when it comes to Derrick Henry. Enjoy that. Matt will be here, too. Bye, everybody.